passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right now, the conversation for 1-1 really comes down to him or Travis Bezzano. It's a really weak, almost a historically weak high school class. So I think that helps.
It is time for Hot Sheet on the Baseball America YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcasts. It's Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, and Ben Badler right from the jump. If you were shocked about the Luis Arraez trade, you were not the only one. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later in the show. Please subscribe to the channel. Like this show right now. Ask us questions too. We had a nice little influx of questions last week. We got to many of them at the end of the show. So if you have a question about your favorite prospect or something draft related, whatever, we'll get to that later. Let us start with our first move. JJ, we have top 100 updates. Where would you like to begin?
Sleep? No, it's, you know, it was fun getting this all put together. It was a lot of work. We do this every month, and every month we get reminded how much work is involved in doing this. But hey, if you get to do what you love, you're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to get to do this. And the thing that does jump out, I think I won't bury the lead. Jackson Holliday's still our number one. We're not that concerned by the fact that he had a rough kind of very brief stint in the majors. We are very confident long-term that shouldn't be a long-term issue, but we do have a guy moving up in the top 10 and a new number one prospect in the national system, which is outfielder James Wood. And this is kind of that fascinating debate. The thing's probably going to go on for a while. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, and Ben, the way we're looking at it now, you were part of that meeting too, kind of lay out the case for why we flipped Wood and Cruz.
Yeah, to me, it's not really that Dylan Cruz is sinking quite as much as it is James Wood is rising. And he was already really high on our top 100 coming into the year. I think it was debatable during the preseason who was going to be number one. But right now, what Wood is doing in AAA, I think, is just extremely impressive, right? Like he's a freak, right? He's 6'7", has top of the scale raw power, moves around really well for his size. And now he's in AAA. You know, he's younger than Dylan Cruz. He's performing better than him at the plate. I think the big question coming into the year was the swing and miss with James Wood, right? He's 6'7". It's a gigantic strike zone that he has to cover. And those longer lever guys have swing and miss as just as part of their game. And this year he's cut his strikeout rate pretty considerably. It's extremely impressive to see. He's only hit two home runs, but at the same time, you know, we've seen exit velocities up to 115 miles an hour. There's nobody on the planet that doubts James Wood's power. So I think over time, you're going to see him just find that balance between contact and power. It's really exciting for a player who's like still not just maybe not scratching the surface of his potential because he's very close to getting to the big leagues. But I think there's even another level for him still to unlock there.
We also had James Wood on this very show just a couple weeks ago. So if you want to check out that interview, it is on the Baseball America YouTube channel. Just scroll back a few episodes. Ben, you teed me up here. When is this happening? When are we calling up James Wood? And in many cases, would he already be up in the major leagues? Do you think there's a slow play going on because the Nationals don't feel like they're quite there yet, even though they're at about 500 at this moment?
Yeah, I think that may be part of it. I think you also just look at what he did in Double A last year, where, you know, the strikeouts were high. It makes sense to give him some more time in Triple A to develop. Like JJ said, we just saw Jackson Holliday, who's annihilated every level that he's been in through the minor leagues, come up and have a pretty rough introduction at the MLB level, and he's not alone in that. So I think it makes sense for them to keep him in Triple A for a little bit longer. But yeah, I mean, it's they're kind of a surprising team where they are, where maybe they are a contender this year. And I wouldn't surprise me if by, you know, the All-Star break or maybe before that, we see him up. But I would expect to see him still in Triple A for a little bit longer.
The thing I'll say also about it, as Ben said, this is more about moving Wood up than Cruz down. But at the same time, we do want to acknowledge that we're keeping an eye on what Dylan Cruz has done. And so far, it's not been in Double A as much as you would expect. Again, it's early in the season. Let's give him some time to acclimate, all of that. But at the same time, if we're talking 2 months from now and Dylan Cruz's slash line looks like it has looked so far this year, trust me when I say we'll be doing a whole lot of calls, a whole lot of conversations with people trying to figure out why that is. Because Dylan Cruz has as lengthy a track record of hitting as pretty much anyone, and that's always been the case, really, until he hit Double A at the end of last year. And again, we're still in small sample sizes and all that. But so far, what you've not seen from Dylan Cruz, that 300-plus hitter that you expect to see pretty much almost wherever he goes.
JJ, let's move to some other risers. Jared Jones next up on this list for me because, oh, wait, he's been in the big leagues the whole season. He makes the opening day roster. We interviewed him right before that on Foul Territory, and it was great. You love that, right? That's what makes MLB debuts and just guys making rosters so cool. It does not work the same as basketball and football. This one was probably pretty easy. A little 16-spot spike, why not, right?
He's going to graduate soon, but if we're updating this, we'd be stupid not to. Like, the question we kind of asked in that discussion, in that conversation, we talked about the whole top 100 for an hour and a half, I guess, that would go through it, you know, pick spot by spot. And the question that someone in that meeting posed was, what pitcher in the minors would you rather have than Dylan Cruz? Than Jared Jones. And the thing that we kind of came back with is, okay, you probably still want Paul Skeens, although that's an interesting discussion. But once you get past that, everyone else on this list is someone who's not just aspiring to have the results that Jared Jones has had so far, but I would say is aspiring to have the stuff combined with the control that he's shown already, the ability to dominate in the zone with multiple pitches. It did make it pretty easy because as much as we may like a Jackson Jobe or, you know, some other pitchers like that, Jared Jones is doing it in the big leagues, and he's doing it with stuff that you would just say, yep, that's top of the scale. That's basically, he compares favorably with pretty much most any pitcher in the majors as far as when you just look at the pure quality of stuff.
Ben, I want to take us right to the next guy that I have pinpointed, and that is Jefferson Rojas, because he's going to make serious moves up this top 100. Is he the biggest riser on this list in general?
Yeah, I think he's one, if not the biggest, certainly one of the biggest risers up this list. I mean, he was a guy who was a prominent prospect when the Cubs signed him out of the Dominican Republic for $1 million a couple years back, and he's already in high A right now. As a 19-year-old, he's flying through the farm system. He's very hitterish, right? It's very sound swing mechanics with him. It's a real simple lower half move to the ball. It's a very compact swing. It's adjustable, great hand-eye coordination. So whether it's fastball, breaking ball, changeup, he seems to be able to square up any pitch and in any part of the strike zone. And especially when it is in the strike zone, he really – it's seldom that you see him swing and miss. It's a 10% swing and miss rate on pitches that are in the strike zone. So it's extremely low. We're not seeing huge power yet, but again, he's 19 years old. There is bat speed there. He's still a teenager. So I think he can get to average power in time, be a potential 20-plus home run kind of guy, whether it's at, you know, shortstop. Maybe he ends up moving around the infield somewhat, just depending on who else the Cubs have there. But yeah, one of the more exciting prospects at the A-ball level right now.
It's a great time to look at the Cubs farm system. Like we've been talking about the Orioles, and understandably, we'll keep talking about the Orioles farm system and just how deep it is, how many guys they have at AAA knocking on the door. But you look at this Cubs system, and this is one of the best farm systems in baseball right now. And the thing that they have, if I'm trying to kind of prognosticate who's going to be our number one farm system coming out of this year, depending on how many of these Orioles guys graduate, I could see the Cubs kind of maybe making that case, depending on also on their end, how many of these guys graduate. But this is a system that has some interesting arms, and with Rojas and a whole number of other guys, has a lot of bats, not just AAA, but kind of AAA, AA, and down to the A-ball level, where they've got this really nicely set up to where they should just keep producing big leaguers year after year after year. But Rojas is obviously one of the top names in that group to know.
And just a reminder that you need to subscribe to Baseball America to check out every single minute detail about what's going on with this list. But a couple more I want to touch on. Let's go to Cam Collier here, JJ.
Last year, Collier kind of had a disappointing year. You want to give him a lot of kind of leeway for the fact that he was extremely young for the level, extremely young for any big, you know, for any pro player, because he obviously jumped from high school to junior college, kind of skipped a year. So last year would have been his draft year. Instead, he was in full season ball. But all that being said, wasn't a great year. Concerns about whether he's going to be able to stick at third base, so he's really going to need to hit. Well, we are seeing definitely some of that improvement. Way too many balls on the ground last year. This year he's doing a better job of lifting the ball, getting the ball in the air, and which is key because he can really do damage when he gets the ball up in the air. We've seen that so far. The power he's had is very encouraging. And Ben, the other part I know that you've always been intrigued with is some power, but there should be some on-base ability to go with that as well.
Yeah, right now we're seeing him chase some stuff outside the strike zone more so than we would normally see from him, but he is very hitterish. I really like his swing. He has huge power. We're already seeing him hit more home runs this year than he did all of last year. And like you said, JJ, I mean, this is a kid who reclassified a year early from high school. So he's 19 years old in high A. I expect him to get to double A by the end of the season. I think he's going to make another jump or maybe several jumps up our next top 100 updates. To me, I think he has a lot in common with Rafael Devers when he was coming up through the Red Sox farm system, left-handed hitting third baseman with a really sweet swing, who has power, has always drawn a lot of positive reviews for his hitting ability. And also, like you said, too, defensive question marks about whether he is going to stay at third base. He does have a strong arm. I think he takes good angles to the ball, but he is, you know, a bigger guy. How much bigger is he going to get? How much range is he going to have, once he is more, once he gets to the big league? So there is some risk he gets to first, has to move over to first base, but I'm optimistic about his chances to stay at third base, and I think he has a chance to be an impact middle of the lineup type bet.
One more I want to ask about that moved up significantly is Christian Scott. He just made his debut this weekend. Again, always helps when you make a nice debut for a team, right? And then it happens to be the time when you guys are making decisions. But Mets fans and baseball fans in general, JJ, want to know if this is what they should expect going forward.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it almost feels like we're cheating when we put guys on until they graduate from rookie status. So, or at-bats or innings and all that. So Scott is very much not yet graduated from that standpoint. But he had that kind of moment early on in that game, I felt like, in that first start, where things go a little differently. We're watching it right now. Like, okay, but you get that big double play, and all of a sudden he just is off and rolling. And the other thing that just jumps out that I'm not surprised at all, we wrote about this, we talked about this in a prospect profile. He's more big league ready than a lot of pitchers, young pitchers, because the command's already there a lot of the time. The control's already there. He hits his spots. And with that ability to hit his spots, you just let the stuff play. So I'm not surprised. And I think that this isn't crazy to think that Christian Scott can be a consistent contributor in the Mets rotation going forward.
Okay, off to some players that are moving down the list. And here's a guy that I know has been discussed for quite some time within the Baseball America circle. Ben, let's start with Ricky Tiedemann, prospect in the Blue Jays system. What's up with him?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's still a lot of things to like with him. I don't think anybody questions the stuff that he has when he is healthy. He's athletic. He's left-handed. You know, I also think even where he is right now in our top 100 may end up looking a little high in retrospect, just because I think all the evidence right now is pointing toward him most likely ending up as a reliever. The Blue Jays have handled his workload with, I would say, extreme caution thus far. And even then, he still has not been able to stay healthy, shoulder, biceps, elbow. The command was not great last year either. You know, he walked more than 5 per 9, had an ERA over 5 last year in double A. And he was struggling again with strikes this year when he was healthy. So I don't think there's really any disagreement from many people about the stuff coming out of his hand when he is healthy. I just think we're looking at a pitcher more along the lines of like a DL Hall or a Nate Pearson, guys who came through the minors with great stuff, but a lot of reliever risk and strike throwing issues too. So I think he could still be a very good reliever, and I'm not, you know, entirely writing off him as a starter entirely either. But I think there's a high likelihood he does end up in a bullpen long term.
Okay, two more pitchers in the Brave system here. I'm seeing AJ Smith-Shawver and Hurston Waldrop moving down at the moment. And JJ, Braves fans have been spoiled for years. They keep picking at the back of a draft. They lost their stud ace, Spencer Strider. The two names I'm looking at that I just mentioned are guys that I think Braves fans were hoping to see make a significant impact on the major league squad this year. And with that Strider injury, it feels like more of a pressing issue because you want high upside arms. There are a few there, but with the natural progression of a season, one guy might get hurt or fall off. And then there is concern that they don't have enough high upside to start a game heading into the postseason. Ronaldo Lopez innings limit. We've talked about that a lot on foul territory. Not that there'll be a limit, but he might fade down the stretch. Sales had a lot of injuries. Morton is not young. What are your thoughts on these two youngsters in the system?
The start of the season has not been encouraging for that. Smith-Shawver has had some flashes, but I think he's a little further away right now than he was coming into the year. We've seen, you know, that maybe there is a little bit more time for development needed. The Braves obviously are an organization that's done a very good job of pitching development. And in the case of Waldrop, he's got to miss more bats. I mean, the velocity is still pretty much what it's been, but he's been hit really hard in double A so far. And they're just, again, I don't think that either of these guys are in a situation where you say, oh, write them off or anything like that. But they do both feel a little further away right now. That's why we tried to be careful with this top 100. We're not like making massive moves up and down based on spring training in 1 month of games, but we are kind of taking an eye on it and saying, okay, there is a lot of useful information, scouting side, statistical side, performance side, all there that we want to at least weigh. And in both of these cases, these are guys who the starts of the season makes you feel a little bit less confident about them helping in 2024 than you did coming out of last year.
Okay, I'll do one fan question and then we'll let Ben jump and we'll move on to Jeff. So Swish asks, thoughts on Zebby Matthews? Just got the bump up to Wichita. He has looked electric in the first month of the season in high A. Raise your hand if you want that one first. All right, JJ, hit it.
I want that one. I do our Twins list, and this is what the Twins are great at. Like, you look at the Twins and you say, okay, are they the best at pitching development? Probably not. But if you said, what are they best at? Like, you want every organization to have something they're best at. And one of the things that the Twins are best at is, hey, let's take that mid-round college pitcher. Let's help him get a little bit more stuff. And then let's just help turn him into a prospect. And they've done this time and time again. They've even done this on guys who then they ship off. Kay Povich was a guy who fits kind of these categories. And now he's a top Orioles prospect. But Zebby Matthews is a guy who I think you could look at as being a starting candidate, probably 2025, probably not this year. But the last year was a breakout year for him. I felt like this year he's following that up very nicely. You look at it overall and say he's one of the better starting pitching prospects in that Twin system. The funny thing about it is he actually, I believe, moved down on our 30, not because he moved down, but speaking of guys moving up, speaking of development, Simeon Wood Richardson, who kind of felt like he was on the very cusp of losing his 40-man roster spot coming out of last year. Stuff's back up. The delivery's better this year. He's really pitching well, dominating at times in the majors now. So Woods Richardson moved up, and I think that may have moved Zebby down a spot or two. But everything about Zebby Matthews so far has been encouraging this year.
Great breakdown. Great question. Ben, great to see you. And we'll catch you on another episode soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you, Ben Badler from Baseball America. Follow him for more of his coverage and also appreciate the questions, more of them flowing through here. We'll get to a Padres one coming up in a moment. If you're listening to this podcast afterward, there are a few ways you can get involved. One is you can catch the show live in the YouTube channel, 3 o'clock Eastern on Tuesdays. If you're like, oh, I'm working, I'm listening to this show afterwards on the drive home, we send out a tweet. JJ has done it. He quote tweeted it. You can reply to that and we'll check some of those questions out too as we go along here, as this show is pretty new, only about a month in to Hot Sheet. So let's bring in Jeff Ponce right now from Baseball America to dive into the next section of the show here. Jeff, good to see you. And I think we have good to see you. We have to take some time to break down the prospect side of the Luis Arraez deal. So I think there's been a lot of very healthy debate about what the Marlins' return looks like when you trade a player away who was one of their best bats, and when you do it at the beginning of May. That means the Padres get to get more time out of Luis Arraez. So did they give up a sizable package in your mind for Marlins fans to be excited for, I don't know, whatever year they plan on trying to contend again?
Yeah, I think it's a really tough breakdown because Luis Arraez, just in terms of pure hitters, there's probably no better pure hitter in baseball. I don't think I'm saying anything outrageous by saying that. I think he's a valuable piece for what the Padres need. He's really sort of going to supplant them at DH. He can fill in at first base and second base and spell some of those guys in the infield when they need it. So there's a lot of value there to that organization. I think on the open market, though, he's not necessarily the most desirable player. There's not a lot of impact. He's not a great defender, though he does have some versatility and can play a few different positions. So it's a matter of like what the returns were that were probably even available for a player like this. Now, when I take a look at what they got back, I think Dylan Head is an interesting prospect. There's certainly upside there. Based on what we saw out of the draft last year, it looked like the hit tool had progressed. What we've seen early this year, it looks like some of that has fallen back. Contact rate right now is in the high 60s, which is bad, especially when you're talking about an A-ball player that does have some pedigree. The 90th percentile exit velocity, I think, is about 100 miles per hour or under. That's not really exciting. Then you got a player like Nathan Mortarella, who is sort of like a poor man's Kyle Manzardo, but in the worst possible way. I mean, I think this year, and I like Mortarella, saw him on the Cape for many years. It's like 100 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity. The contact rate is just average. Hits a lot of balls in zone, doesn't chase a lot. So it's kind of a hit tool first baseman. Once again, not a real desirable player. Woosock Go, just in terms of the stuff, it looks really, really generic. It doesn't look like even a guy that's going to handle high leverage innings. And then I think you have Jacob Marse, who's probably an underrated player. He's done a lot to improve his power numbers. A lot of that has been just adding some loft to the swing. We've seen the launch angle this year, I think it's like 24 degrees, which is really high. He hits the ball harder, actually, than anybody that they traded for, which is sort of remarkable because he has the worst bat speed of that group. But he does have some underlying contact skills. He has some approach skills that can maybe play out, and he can play a position in the outfield. So I think it's kind of an underwhelming return. They sort of got a bunch of nickels for a quarter. I don't know if that necessarily will even out. If one of these players, you know, works out, then it's probably a decent deal for them. But I think this is more of a depth move for a really shallow system, and that's probably the biggest benefit that it offered the Marlins, in my personal opinion.
And that's where I kind of have concerns with this, in that I know that there are some realistic and legitimate debates about just how valued Arias is. He is 27 years old, though, and just 2 years ago, two off seasons ago, he was traded for Pablo Lopez, which obviously I think the Twins would do that trade again. Maybe the Marlins wouldn't. But at the same time, I don't think that this is as good a return as Pablo Lopez. I would say it's safe to say that. And it's not like, well, Arias became not nearly the player he was then. He's won another batting title since then. He isn't a unique player, but to me, the concern I have from the Marlins' perspective is, Jeff laid it out pretty well. If you like these guys, you hope that they kind of exceed their projections. Head is a long way away, a little bit of a lottery ticket, but there's some upside there. But, you know, you look at Mortarella, you look at Marse, those are guys who are projected as kind of role players, and you hope they're more than that. I just kind of felt like if you're trading your best trade chip, you know, on the position player side, hopefully we're going to get a little bit more than that.
Let's bring in a fan question for the Padres side of the equation. It's cool. We talked plenty on Foul Territory about what Arise can bring to the table for San Diego. Let's dip into their prospect pool, because we know AJ Preller is not shy. He's one of the biggest gunslingers in the league, not afraid to trade a prospect. So let's break down what things look like for them after this. And we saw the trade to start the year for Dylan Cease, which also unloaded some of their top guys. Oscar says, with the recent trades and graduations, what are your thoughts on the state/depth of San Diego's system, and where would they generally rank organizationally across baseball? JJ, you want to start?
I'll take this. Take this. Still pretty good, because this is what the Padres do exceptionally well. Utter credit to them on this. They look at the draft, they look at the international side, and they are going to try to generate stars. Doesn't always work, but often when it doesn't work, they're traded. They're already in a different organization at that point, and they've already gotten value for him. We talked about James Wood. Now, you can rightfully point a finger at the Padres and say, maybe you shouldn't have traded James Wood. He's now one of the top prospects in baseball. But that's a guy who the Padres were aggressive about going out and getting. They have Leo DeVries. They have, you know, Ethan Salas. They keep producing, even though AJ Preller treats every single prospect as someone that basically is available and can be moved in the right deal. The Padres are very comfortable and very confident that they can keep regenerating this. This trade they just did for Arias didn't take away any of their best prospects. Nothing against a Dylan Head, nothing against a Jacob Marse, but they have prospects who rank in our top 100. Those are not top 100 prospects. So you look at it, and I would say the good news for Padres fans is there still is, I would say, much more up, you know, top end talent, high ceiling prospects than there is depth, but still overall pretty solid farm system.
Yep. Great question. And we're going to finish the show with a Charlie Condon update. You know, he has been getting a lot of attention in the college ranks. Now that is moving over to draft talk as we get closer to July. So, JJ, you want to start here on what Condon's up to lately and how much buzz there is surrounding him? Like, I mean, I know there are plenty that have him as the top pick. Is he further solidifying himself with performances like this in college right now where he's like a homer a game?
It's becoming harder and harder. Like, this is the thing I love about there being more attention given to the draft by, I would say, you know, not the casual fan. I don't think a casual fan's been, but, just a major league fan, right? Like fans who 20 years ago wouldn't be reading Baseball America and may not have any idea who's the potential 1-1 candidate. Now I think that a lot of Guardians fans would be pretty disappointed at this point if Condon wasn't the guy who went 1-1, because it's just such an absurd year. It's one of the best years. I know that offense is through the roof right now in college baseball. There's no question about that. But even saying that, this is still a season that stands far above anyone else in an insane college season. He's got 7 more home runs than anyone, which, by the way, he's homered in the last 7 games as we record this. They got, you know, that we'll probably have to update that to 8-8, but by the time you see this. But, you know, he's leading the nation in batting average. You don't win to lead the – no one leads the nation D1 in home runs by a ton and batting average by a significant amount. Slugging percentage. There's just so much that he's doing very well. And not on top of that, he has shown, as Jeff has kind of covered before, I think, a little bit more athleticism this year. And he's playing a lot of different positions. I don't think he's going to be a center fielder long term. Maybe he won't even be a third baseman. But he's not he's a first baseman who's going to end up being a DH.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. I think that, you know, right now the conversation for 1-1 really comes down to him or Travis Bezzana. I think it's been a fortunate year in a lot of ways for Condon. It's a really weak, almost a historically weak high school class. I know Carlos has done some good work kind of talking about that on podcasts and writing about it a little bit. So I think that helps. It's not a lot of those guys in the mix. There's a couple of pitchers, but I think every pitcher here has some injury questions and some relief risk if you're talking about a guy like Chase Burns or some of the others that are in the mix. And there's no standout up the middle defensive player on the college side that's sort of rivaling on an offensive perspective. So, you know, I think it's kind of like everything's sort of fallen into place with Condon. And then on top of it, he's having this absolutely phenomenal year. I mean, there's no way to really break it down in negative fashion. I know the biggest question mark we've seen is some of the home road splits are drastic, but when you're putting up the kind of numbers he's putting up at home, that probably will happen more often than not. So, yeah, I think at this point, Condon has to be the number one, prospect just in terms of what people are looking at, who they're following and anticipating will go 1-1. Teams are known to do some unusual things with money in the MLB draft. It's not a usual draft like you get with the NBA or the NFL, where typically your best player is going to go 1-1. But I think that's probably the biggest question mark is just will the Guardians, you know, bite the bullet, pay the full bonus and take the best player at the top? And I think right now that seems to be Condon.
It's funny, on top of that, the Guardians offense was putrid last year, did not have enough pop. They've been better this year so far, although it's, you know, a little bit over a month into the season. So if you're just a generic Guardians fan that's not paying attention to the prospect ranks as much, or especially the draft, really, they're like, wait, we got a dude hitting a home run a day in college ball and we have the top pick. They better get this guy, because that's a problem that Cleveland's had now for a while. They've been a contact heavy team. So we'll see if that happens, right, Jeff? I mean, this is a team that, I mean, is not going to spend a lot in free agency. They've operated now as a smaller market team, and you have an opportunity to get a guy like this. Guardians fans are super excited because they can actually relate and see that he is dominating college baseball in the power category right now.
And in the power conference. I mean, we've seen guys like, I know Wyatt Langford's numbers on surface haven't been great. He's not striking out that much. I know he's on the 10-day IL now, but, you know, we've seen guys come from the SEC and more or less walk into the major leagues within a year or two. So I think also for a team that does have an opportunity to make the playoffs, I don't think the Guardians are a bad team, especially after being a playoff team a couple of years ago. They do have some pieces in place. It's not a bad farm system around them, and they have a lot of middle infielders. So much to, you know, Bezzana and probably his agent's chagrin, that's kind of the issue.
There you go. Yeah, go ahead, JJ.
I want to add one thing real quick on that. But the other thing is if you're the Guardians and you're looking for bat to ball skills and all, we are talking about a guy who's likely to be the Division I batting champ this year as well, sure, and finish top three, top four in OBP. So he gives you everything you want.
Better get the job done. We'll keep talking about him. We'll keep following what he's doing at the college ranks right now. Thanks for the questions to everyone. Good show. Got to a lot. If you like the trade breakdown too, of course, we'll do plenty of that as there are more trades when we get closer to the trade deadline. Please subscribe to the Baseball America YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast page wherever you get your pods. Keep the questions flowing, and we're here every Tuesday. We'll see you on the next one.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.